This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in the Holy Quran. Allah says in Surah Az-Zumar, which is the 39th surah in the Holy Quran, verse number 73, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزْنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ فَدَخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. This verse, one of the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran. Of course, the whole of the Quran is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse of Surah Az-Zumar, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ. And those people who had taqwa in the dunya, those people who loved Allah in the dunya, those people who were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya, what about them? They will be led into paradise in groups. So we can envisage a scene where these massive doors of the Jannah, each door will be the distance of 40 years of travel between the one side of the door to the other side of the door. Because you can't imagine. You can try, but it's impossible to imagine that. And the Jannah has 8 of these doors. And each door has got a name on it. Those people who love to make salah, they will enter by the door of salah. Those who love to give charity will enter by the door of charity. Those who love to fight in the path of Allah will enter by the doors of the martyrs. Those who fast in the month of Ramadan, they love to fast in the month of Ramadan, will enter through the door of, what's the name of the, I'm sure all of you know that door. Rayyan. Rayyan. You'll hear a lot about Rayyan. So Rayyan is a special door for the fasters. So there will be 8 doors that you'll be able, that you'll enter into. And so, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him this. Abu Bakr said, Ya Rasulullah, will there be people who will be able to choose to go in by any door? So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr, I hope inshallah that you will be one of them, O Abu Bakr. I hope inshallah that you will be, because that's dua from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, means Abu Bakr would be able to choose which door he will choose to enter. Then I came across a hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated by none other than Umar ibn al-Khattab. And this hadith can be found in Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith I've already narrated to you. And I want to re-narrate the hadith to you. The hadith goes as follows. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما منكم من أحد يتوضأ فيبلغ الوضوء ثم قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية يدخل من أيها شاء. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, none of you will make wudu. None of you will take hudu. Fayubligh. And none of you will take hudu in such a manner that he takes it completely without missing out anything of the parts of the hulu. Many people miss out maybe their elbows or their, what do you call this back part of your foot? Your heels, very important. And of course, washing from ear to ear and from the hairline to below the chin. And taking your time to take wudu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the person who takes wudu with full concentration. And after taking wudu, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abiduhu wa rasulu illa futihat lahu abwabu al-jannati thamaniya. Except that all 8 doors of Jannah will open for him. So I thought, when I read the first hadith, the first part of the hadith about the 8 doors, I thought to myself, Faik will have to now choose, you know, you have to choose which game in the Olympics you're going to excel in, you know. So that at least you'll have one door to go in by, you know. At least you should concentrate in your salah or maybe on, you know, maybe you should go to Afghanistan and make jihad. So at least there's one door that you enter into. And then this hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. So if you take wudu and you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abiduhu wa rasulu, all 8 doors will open for you and yadkhul min ayyuha sha. You will choose which door you will want to go into. Subhanallah. So this is the beauty of Islam. And coming back to the verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. So each group, we will enter Jannah in groups. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا. Until we reach the door. So we're all in groups and we're now standing outside the Jannah. And the doors will be opened and the person who will have permission to have the doors of the Jannah opened will be none other than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The keepers of Jannah will say to us, inshallah, Salamun alaykum. Salamun alaykum. Peace be upon you. Salamun alaykum. That will be the greeting of Jannah. Although in the dunya we trivialize the greeting. Salam, we say. Laykum. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know when somebody says laykum and it's like a knife that goes through my heart. Or laykum. And it's so beautiful. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Next time you say salam or laykum, think about the greeting which you'll have to say to the angel when he greets you when you stand in the doors of the Jannah. What are you going to say to him? Laykum? No. You'll be on your best behavior. So that best behavior has a practice ground. And that practice ground is here in the dunya. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, greet those you know and also those you don't know. So you walk in Kenilworth Center and you see somebody of the Kufiya and a Kennedy Bhutani, so no need to greet. No. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you must greet those you know and those you don't know. Because many times I walk in the supermarkets and I say somebody, a Muslim, and I say Salaamu Alaikum, and the person seems as if I just shocked him with 100 volts of current. And the person, they don't greet back, they look at you and say, but Ekke Muslim, you know, maybe you want something from me. So, you know, we're not trained properly to do the basics of deen. And I always say to people, you know, be a simple Muslim, be an ordinary Muslim. Don't be a Muslim, you know, like I saw the other day, I went to the supermarket and I saw these 3 people outside the supermarket. One was in full hijab, the woman, the men, all their tops were above their ankles with big beards. 2 men and a woman, what were they doing outside the supermarket? Smoking. All 3 of them were smoking. I don't know how the woman was smoking. I said to myself, you know, subhanallah, what is this? What kind of image are we projecting to the non-Muslims? So if you want to wear like this, first decide whether you will be able to project the personality of that clothing and that kind of behavior, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you can't do that, then don't wear it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Please. Reach a stage in your life where you say, MashaAllah, today I'm ready to look like Muhammad and act like Muhammad. Not to look like Muhammad and act like Abu Jahl. Like the Arabs in the Middle East, they all look like Muhammad, but they all drink, sit in the bars and drink, gamble, do all kinds of wrong things with their big beards and their thobes and everything else. No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says then in the Quran, Salamun, the angel will say, Salamun alaykum tibtum. Salamun alaykum, very important word comes next, tibtum. Tibtum. Allah says, Salamun alaykum will be for those tibtum. In other words, when you reach the doors of Jannah, you have gone through a process of purification. And I will deal with the 11 stages of purification before you reach the doors of Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tibtum, only those who have been cleansed and purified will reach the gates of Jannah, abwab al-Jannah. Fadkhuluha khalidin. And the angel will say, now you can enter the Jannah khalidin, forever. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. And what will we respond? We will say, Alhamdulillah. All thanks and praise is due to Allah. الَّذِي صَدَقْنَا وَعْدًا. Who has been true to His promise to us. Allah never breaks His promise. Allah says, you were good in the dunya. You lived like good Muslims on the dunya. You were good to others on the dunya. Alhamdulillah, we will say, oh Allah, you have been true to your promise. وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْأَرْضَ. And you have made us inherit the land of Jannah. That's your inheritance. That's your final inheritance. That no one can take away from you. Not the inheritance your father leaves behind, or the inheritance your mother leaves behind, or your brother leaves behind. No, those inheritances, eventually you will also leave it behind for your children. And be a cycle of leaving behind, until you reach the Jannah, where your final inheritance will be waiting for you, which no one will be able to take away from you. Khalidina fiha. Abada. Forever and ever and ever. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدًا وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will be able to choose wherever you want to abide in the Jannah. And remember what I said to you before, the Jannah of the last person who enter Jannah, his Jannah will be equal to 10 times the size of the dunya. The last person who enter Jannah, his Jannah will be 10 times the size of this earth. So can you imagine how big your Jannah will be? Subhanallah. And you can decide wherever you want to live. Opposite the golf course, or the river, opposite the ocean. Because remember, whatever your heart desires and your mind thinks of will be in front of you immediately. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرْ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Jannah is a place مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, which the eye has not seen. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, and music the ear has never heard. وَلَا خَطَرْ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And the Jannah is a place that your heart has never longed for. Because you don't know. Your heart is, we know our hearts long for many things in the dunya. Why do our hearts long for it? Because we've seen it. A beautiful woman, a beautiful bungalow at the beach, beautiful farm. I don't know what else people think of. But whatever you may have thought of, you never thought of it in terms of what you will find in the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how excellent is the reward for the workers in the dunya. How excellent is the reward for the workers in the dunya. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I know Ramadan is coming. Ramadan is coming and Ramadan is coming and people are saying you prepare for Ramadan, but every day is Ramadan. We should live as if every day is, as if every day is Nisfu Sha'ban. We are not seasonal beings. We are not like the Christians and the Jews that have Christmas and, no, every day is Eid. Hasan al-Banna, Hasan al-Basri, when he was asked about Eid, when is your Eid? The students asked him, when is your Eid? He said, Eidi kulla yawmin la a'asi Allah fi. He says, my labarab is every day I don't disobey Allah. So every day, we don't have, oh, prepare for Ramadan. You know? What is prepare? How prepare for Ramadan? Yeah, well, I know what you mean by prepare for Ramadan. Put the order in for the kusistas, put the order in for the samosas, because the woman is busy, put the order in for the pies. And okay, fine, that's also alright. But you can't prepare, you must be ready for Ramadan now, for Ramadan in 2013, 2014, 2015. Every day you're a Muslim, every day you make tawbah, every day you make salah, every day you stand facing the Baytullah. This is your life as Muslim. Every day you do good. Don't wait for Ramadan to make charity. Every day you make charity. Why can you not wait for Ramadan to make charity? Because if you die tomorrow, then? If you say, well, I'm going to wait for Ramadan to do this, I'm going to wait for Ramadan to do that, wait for Ramadan, and then on the 29th night of Sha'aban, Allah says, come. You say, Allah, no, I made all my intentions for Ramadan. No, there's no such thing in Islam about making. No, you have to do it now, today. You want to fast? Tomorrow. Fast tomorrow. If you think maybe you're not, tomorrow is the day you can fast. Monday you can fast. Tuesday you can fast. And after Ramadan again. We must stop being seasonal Muslims. That's why we hold on to these big nights, you know, big night. I say big night is every night is a big night. Every night you can make tahajjud. Every night Allah is there for you. Every night Allah, every day Allah is there for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tibtum. Tibtum. What does tibtum mean? Tibtum means first to be purified of your sins. Don't worry, everybody's sin. We've been put on this dunya as sons of Adam. And Adam was put here. Why was he put here? Because he sinned. And Allah says, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Allah says, I love sinners. Why? He doesn't say I love sin. He says, I love people who make tawbah. In other words, people who sin and make tawbah. I love those who make tawbah. Allah loves people who make tawbah. And Allah loves those who are clean. Clean of heart, clean of body, clean of mind. So what is sin, first of all? Sin is a very private matter. We are told in Islam, the philosophy of sin in Islam is, sin is your own private matter between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't divulge your sins, not even to your wife. Because the day she divorces you, she's going to tell the next husband all your sins. And when you die, and you want a good husband, she's going to tell all your children. Don't tell anybody. Not allowed to tell anybody. Don't tell the sheikh, don't tell the imam. This is the last people you must tell. It's a private matter. Because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will say to you, my servant. You know, in the dunya, I hid your sins from everybody. Nobody knew what you did. Only I knew. So today I forgive you. Just like I hid your sins in the dunya, I will hide your sins from man today. What do we do today? We look around, we see somebody who looks pious. I'm a little salif, I had more omprat. I'm going to go to him and ask him, you know. And because he thinks that people have confidence in him, he answers their questions. Very dangerous. One day a man, he killed 99 people. Hadith, narrated in Bukhari. Killed 99 people. So he's looking for somebody to ask a question. Like you have a question, you want to ask somebody, so you think, mashallah. The man is a haji, was in Makkah. It's a khuya man. So he goes to this man, pious man, says to the man, a man killed 99 people, fa'allahu min tawbah. Look how he asked the question. He didn't say I killed 99 people, he said a man killed 99 people. A directive in the hadith to tell Muslims, when you ask about something which you may have done, don't say I gambled, so what is it, or I did this. No. Say someone did X, Y, and Z. What is the fatwa? So this man said to this pious man, I killed 99 people. Halli min tawbah. Is there tawbah for me? So this pious man said, oh, no tawbah for you. So he killed him also. So piety can lead to your own death if you don't have knowledge. That is what hadith is saying. Because when he met the real alim, the real alim said to him, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Real alim said, Allah says Allah forgives all sin. So if you make sincere tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Of course, you know the story goes, he walked and he died on the way back, he made tawbah, and then the angels came and measured, was he nearer to whatever, and Allah forgave him. So it's very important that you keep your sin between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alaysa Allah. Surah Az-Zumar, again verse 37, Allah says, is Allah not enough for his slave? Allah not enough for you? Allah says, هو الذي يقبل توبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات ويعلم ما تفعلون. Surah Ash-Shura, verse 25, Allah says, He is the one who accepts your tawbah. He is the one who forgives your sins. He is the one who knows what you do. Nobody else knows. Only Allah knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, verse 74, why do they not make tawbah for forgiveness? Is Allah not the most forgiving, the most merciful? And the Nabi ﷺ said, "Kullu ibn Adam khata'un wa khayru khata'ina tawbah." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, every man and woman is a sinner. And the best sinner is the sinner who makes tawbah, returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are sins and sins, my brothers. There are sins that Allah also don't forgive. Allah says in the Quran, Inna Allah la yaghfiru ayyushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika lima yasha. Allah says, Allah does not forgive that you make shirk with Him. But He forgives all other sins. And that's why I always say, stay far away from shirk, because once you commit it, there's no tawbah. You can't say, Allah, you know, I did this when I did that and I was misguided. No. No forgiveness. So, see how dangerous it is. That's why I'm so passionate about steering, being 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 of light years away from anything which even smells like shirk. Because unforgivable sin. And there are certain other sins which is only between you and your brother. which he has to forgive you. For example, if you talk ill about your brother or your sister, Allah will not forgive you. You have to give to go to that person. And I always like to tell the story of the man who went to his sheikh and said, you know, that he had spoken ill about so many people in his life. He's now an old man. He knows he's going to die. He's going to go back to Allah. He loved to fitna, as we call it, but other people. You know, favorite pastime of many people. So the alim said to him, yes, there's forgiveness for you. Take this bag. Big bag. Oda will say mitsak. No, big bags. And fill it with feathers. He says then you go to the masjid. And you climb right to the top of the minar. And you open the bag. But it must be a windy day. Wind must be blowing, the southeaster must be blowing on that day. So you take this bag of feathers to the top of the minaret and you open it in the southeaster and you let the wind take it away. And he said, and then? He said, then you go and collect every single feather, you put it back in the bag and bring it to me. So the man knew what the answer was. That's impossible. Can't do that. How are you going to collect? Other words, what the alim was saying to him, you have to go to every single person that you spoke ill of without reason, without nothing. And you have to ask that person for forgiveness. There is also the sin of making debt, lending money from people and not paying them back. That also is no tawbah. Can't say, Ya Allah, I lent 100,000 naira from my brother, please forgive me. Doesn't work. You have to come to an arrangement with that brother or sister and say, I'm going to pay you back, even if it's 5 rand a year. But you have to come to an arrangement with that person. You can't just ignore the person. Duck and dive the person. You see that, No, I must go and say, look, I owe you money, brother. I have to pay you. I can pay you so much. And if you die because of your intention, Allah will forgive you. Now this is what tibtum, or this purification, there are 11 stages that we go through that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in order for us to reach the doors of Jannah. The last stage is when we are on the sirat. The bridge that will take us over the Jahannam to the doors of Jannah. And that bridge, as we know, we've heard, is sharper than a sword and thinner than a hair. That will take 10 lectures on its own to explain what that is about and what will happen there. So the 11 stages of purification is number one. There'll be four stages in the dunya. 3 stages in the qabr and 4 stages on the day of qiyamah. It's like a washing machine with pre-wash and past-wash and all the washes and so much wash until eventually the clothes are clean. The first stage in the dunya for the cleansing of the person for entry into Jannah is tawbah. Tawbah, and the second one is istighfar. Now, these are two different words applying to two different exercises altogether. Tawbah, some ulama say, is that which you do, that forgiveness which you ask Allah for sins that you know you have done. Tawbah is that exercise of saying, Ya Allah, forgive me, and you say, for what Allah must forgive? Oh Allah, forgive me for X, Y, Z. That is called tawbah. Other scholars say, tawbah is that which is in the heart. And istighfar is that, when you say, astaghfirullah, is that sin which you have forgotten you've made. Or you were unaware that you did. Like, you know, we have this latest thing for the last few years where you say on the card, consciously and unconsciously. You say, forgive me for that. Which I don't know what this is about, but anyway, it's become part of the sunnah, part of the mainstream, as they call it. You know, forgive me for what I did consciously and unconsciously. Why must you ask forgiveness for things you did unconsciously that you don't even know you did? I mean, what kind of religion is that? You say you must make tawbah for things that you didn't do. You should say to the person, I did X to you and I ask you for forgiveness, not unconsciously and consciously. Now that is now absolve you of all. Then it's in whether I did consciously, unconsciously for Dakhul Shishma. I don't know. You know, for everything must now go by the board. No, you must be specific. So when you ask Allah for tawbah, you must say, Ya Allah, I ask for tawbah. I committed this crime. I committed this sin. And istighfar, you must make seven. Prophet said that I am the Prophet of Allah. I make istighfar 70 times every day. That's for sins that you don't know that you do. So first is tawbah. Second is istighfar. In the dunya, purification. Third in the dunya is hasanat. Cleansing by way of good deeds. In al-hasanat, yudhibna sayyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily good deeds cleanse. Sometimes you think that when you give charity money, it only cleanses your money. It doesn't cleanse your money, it cleanses you also. It cleanses you from shuh, from avarice and wanting to have and not to share. There was a man on the day of Qiyamah, and I told the story before and I want to just reiterate, who appeared in front of Allah and he needed one good deed for him to go to Jannah. He had done so many good deeds, but he needed just one more for his scale to go down to go to Jannah. So Allah said to him, sorry, you have to go to Jahannam, but in your case I'll make an exception. Ask somebody to give you one good deed and bring it back and I'll let you into Jannah. So he goes around to everybody, of course. I didn't want to give him because I needed myself. You, all of you will say no. Inshallah. But there was one man who said, brother, I only did one good deed in my life and this good deed is not going to take me to Jannah. Take it, it's alright. You can have it. I just did one good deed in my life and here I am. You take it. So he's very happy. He takes the good deed to give it to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Ya Abdi, ahunaka abdun khayrun or arhamu minni. Allah says to him, is there somebody who is more merciful than I, Allah? Bring him here. I want to see him. Meet him. So the man goes. He brings the man. Allah asks him, did you give him the good? He says, Ya Allah, I only had one good deed. Impossible for me to enter Jannah. At least the last good thing I can do before I go to Jahannam, I'll give him my good deed. So Allah says, take him by the hand. Both of you go to Jannah. Through the goodness of just one single. So if you think, if your mind goes this way, that way, must I do it? Mustn't I do it? You say, oh, maybe this is one good deed is going to save me from Jahannam. Khima for me 5 cents is alright. Stuart must say karas already. Abba must say tayy after. I know it's cold. But maybe this one good deed for the day, this one good deed will swing the scale to the other side. And if Muslims are like that, they'll always do good. Even the Nabi, you think you know the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would pass. After all, he's a prophet of Allah. But he was chosen. If Abba, you were the prophet, he would say, well, you know, we'll relax, you know. We receive revelation, give it to the people, and you know, we promise Jannah, no? The Battle of Badr, Nabi was in Medina, 150 kilometers away from Badr. 150 kilometers, Badr was away. Him and Sayyidina Ali and Marthad, Ibn Marthad, three of them, Marthad Ibn Marthad was 20 years old, Ali was 21, Nabi was 55. So 55-year-old man, 20-year-old guy, a young chap, 21-year-old, three of them, one camel. So Marthad and Ali got together and they said, look, you know, we can't let the Prophet walk. Impossible. We have one camel between the three of us, but we are going to, the two of us are going to walk, and we're going to see the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ride the 150 kilos on the back of the camel to Badr. So they went to the Nabi and said, Ya Rasulullah, nahnu namshi. Warkab anta ya Rasulullah. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, we tafakna, we have agreed between the two of us. Inshallah, you will. If I was now the person and the people came and said, Sheikh, raise your money car, was a loop. Sheikh, yeah, it's alright. It must be Sheikh. I come loop. Because I'm a simple human being. I think like that. We all think like that, you know. We might say, Butaji is an old man, you know, Ray Jayma ek is young, you know. Like the Nabi was 55, they were 20 and 21. What did Nabi Sallallahu say to them? Wallahi la antuma bi aqdar min al mashimin. La hawla wa la. Subhanallah. He said to these two young people, you think you can walk better than what I can walk? What's the difference between your walk and my? I can walk. Just like you can walk, I can walk. When I... And number two, I need the reward just as you need the reward. I may be Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may be the beloved of Allah. I still need the reward just as you need the reward. So what we will do is, each one of us will walk 50 kilometers. So one of us will ride 50 kilometers, the other one will ride 50 kilometers, and the other one will ride 50 kilometers. Subhanallah. Where do you get leaders like that today? Mensen just keep over. Sheikh moet eerst eet. Imam moet eerst eet. Imam moet eerst eet. Dan kijk je waar die vlees in die waas. I'm saying this, you laugh, but I'm saying this so that we can change our habits amongst ourselves. Then Muhammad s.a.w. told the Sahaba, I'm like you, I'm a human being, I'm here on the dunya, I'm your leader. You must respect me and love me, and I respect and love you. But when it comes to these things, we are equal. On the hijrah with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And you know the love Abu Bakr had for the Nabi s.a.w. I don't have to tell you the love that he had. Subhanallah. So it came for the time of hijrah. They had to leave Makkah to go to Medina. So Abu Bakr brought two camels. He was a rich man. Bakr was a rich man. But yet his riches didn't flow to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His riches flow to the Ummah, but not to the Prophet. But today, we have, we always break one as a rikfrana. It's by Pialda, you know. Problem with adding the norm to him. Prophet Uthman was a rich man. Abu Bakr was a rich man. There was no exploitation. No exploitation. So Abu Bakr said, Ya Irkab, in a simple way, said, Ya, there's your camels, my camel. Prophet Nabi was a very rich man, probably had 1,000 camels, you know. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, smiled and said, Ya Abu Bakr, bithaman. Just like the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya Abu Bakr bi thaman, oh Abu Bakr, at a price. What's your price? Of course Abu Bakr got, what is this, you know? Man doing a job for his sheikh, he says, alright, muni batali. He says, MashaAllah. Prophet said, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, how much? Not joke, not, this is serious business. No, how much, how much? So the Prophet didn't want to get on the camel. Then Abu Bakr looked, when Muqawqis, the ruler of Egypt at the time, sent the Nabi a gift of Maria Qibtiyah, he accepted the gift. But he didn't want to accept the gift from his best friend, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Why not? He accepted that gift, but this gift he didn't want to accept. Because he said to Abu Bakr, oh my friend, I want the same reward for this hijrah that Allah is going to give you. I want the same reward. And we will find Makkah Medina is in miles or kilometers, I don't remember. So that was our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna al-hasanat yuzhibna as-sayyi'at. That good deeds also cleanse the body. Cleanses it. Number four. Cleansing in the dunya. Al-masa'ib al-mukaffira. Calamities through which Allah cleanses us. And one of the calamities, there are many. In the Al-Abda, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, لَتَوَعَكَ الْوَعَكَ يَقُومُ مِنَّا وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ الذُّنُوبِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a man gets sick and he recovers from his illness. Allah forgives him his sins by his enduring his illness and saying Alhamdulillah. So if you are ill, you got the flu, you got this, you got that, you suffer pain, you suffer this, you suffer that. Don't say Allah doesn't love me. No, 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 no. Don't say why am I sick? Why have I got this illness and my brother hasn't got it? Why do I get sick and my wife doesn't get sick? Why does my wife get sick and I? No, no, no. Should say, I'm coughing, I've got, Alhamdulillah, my sins are being wiped off. I'm being cleansed. I'm being purified. So it means the more sick you are, the more Allah loves you. Must be. The more sick you are, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Then the next, that's the four cleansing stages in the dunya, then there's three in the qabr. First is when the people make salatul janazah on you. Allah cleanses, forgives your sins. Every dua that they make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins. Number two, for you in the dunya. For example, your children make hajj on your behalf. Allah forgives you. Somebody makes an umrah on your behalf, Allah forgives you. Somebody makes sadaqah on your behalf, Allah forgives you. Somebody makes dua on your behalf, full stop. So you benefit in the grave from hajj, umrah, sadaqah and dua. That is agreed upon by all the scholars. There is ikhtilaf or differences of opinion concerning if people make dhikr, do you benefit? Maybe, maybe not. If people read Quran, do you benefit? Maybe, maybe not. But four things you definitely benefit. So always tell your children, make dua for me, make sadaqah on my behalf, make umrah on my behalf, make hajj on my behalf. Then the four stages of purification in the Akhirah. And remember, Adabul Qabr, not everybody will suffer Adabul Qabr. Punishment of the grave. If you have been cleansed and purified, you made your istighfar, your tawbah in the dunya, you will escape Adabul Qabr. Inshallah. Adabul Qabr is... Subhanallah. That's why the Nabi says, every salah, in the end of every salah, you should say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabin nari wa adhabil qabr. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of Jahannam and punishment of the grave. Punishment of the grave, to give you an idea, is that the punishment will be so severe that the grave will press you until the milk your mother gave you will come out. Part of the punishment of the grave is people who didn't make istinja properly, for example. And so forth and so on. The first purification in the Akhirah will be the purification of Ahwal Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Of standing in the sun when the sun will be one length span away from your head. Of the worry of Qiyamah. The worry that you will have. The worry that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says a man will come and he will stand in front of Allah and Allah will say to him, Ya Fulan, Ya Abdi, O my servant, Ahadha Kitabuk. Is this your book? Like, you know, teacher will say, did you write this? Is this your essay? Is this what you wrote? The fear will be so great that the person will say, Ya Rab, oh my Lord, throw me in Jahannam, but don't ask me any more questions. He will be so fearful of what may happen that he will say, Ya Allah, please. And yet Sayyidina Ali said, If I should be given a choice on the day of Qiyamah to be questioned by my mother and father or by Allah, I would choose Allah. So I asked him why. He said, because Allah will be more merciful to me than my mother and my father. So yes, Allah is wanting to be merciful, but that will be part of the purification. That fear of stand. That's why I make a lot of tawbah. Because when you make tawbah and dunya, Allah forgives, you must believe. No matter who you are, what you did, you must believe yaqeenan that no matter what sin you made, except shirk, and you say, Ya Allah, forgive me for that sin, you are free. Allah will forgive you. Number three is Shafa'atun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The intercession of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina. That he will be the only man who says, my ummah, my ummah, my ummah. And on that day, his ummah will include all the intercessor for every man born in this dunya and who died as a Muslim. From the time of Adam until his time. That is al-maqam al-mahmood alladhi wa'adta. That is this high station which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last stage of purification before we reach the doors of Jannah is of course afullah, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Iblis. What about Iblis? Because you must remember that all of us are going to blame him. Poor man. I don't know if he's a woman, maybe. I don't know. Today, must be careful, you know. So, he will be there. He will stand there amongst us. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, Hatta in the Iblis, even Iblis, as we say, la yatasawwa, even Iblis will stand on his toes and he will stretch his neck in order to get some of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even he would want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, and finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, 21st Surah, verse 70, إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم. For me, this is ayah above ayah. This is, and I've told you, when I read this ayah, then really I can feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just his mercy, but his love for us. And that's why I wonder sometimes that why people turn away from Allah and seek things in others or in other ways. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he who makes tawbah and believes and do good deeds, what will Allah do to his sins? What must you do? You must say, Allah forgive me. You must believe. Say, La ilaha illallah. And thirdly, you must do good. Do good deeds. What will Allah do to me? And I'm the biggest sinner amongst all of you. What will Allah do to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah says, you badil Allah. We want somebody who loves you more than that. You steal money from someone and he says, how much did you steal? 1 million rand. I'll give you another 1 million rand. I forgive you for stealing the 1 million rand and I give you another 1 million rand. Can you imagine be such a good man? Only Allah is merciful. Allah says, you did all these good sins, I will change it to good deeds. The bigger the sin, the bigger the good deed. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And really Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same verse of Surah Al-Furqan, verse 70, and he who makes tawbah and does good, verily, he has made sincere tawbah to Allah. So what is sincere tawbah? Tawbah al-Nasuha, Allah describes it. Allah says, because Allah says, one makes sincere tawbah. Tawbah al-Nasuha is he who makes tawbah and do good. So tawbah must be followed by goodness. You can't just say, forgive, forgive. No, no. You must forgive. Like a man came to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I kissed the girl. Prophet said, only kiss. He says, I only kissed the girl. So you see, people in those days also did it. They were human beings like us. So this young man came and he said, he kissed the girl. So people didn't know what to say, because there's nothing in the Quran about kissing a girl. It's about zina, what the punishment, but nothing in the Quran. So Allah revealed the verse of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, pray in the morning and pray in the evening. And do good. Prophet said to you, make two rakah sunnah and give charity. Allah will forgive you. So, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is my message. Through me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just be a good Muslim, a good human being, a charitable Muslim. I do good. Don't say, like many people say today, oh, and people just exploit you, and people just want your money, and people just, so I'm not going to give any more charity, I'm not going to be do good anymore because nobody else is doing good. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. You can't say that. You're not allowed to say that. Do good until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because remember, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a day will come when people will walk with a charity in their hands in the streets, and nobody will be there to take it from you. You know, I visit Qatar often, I go there, my daughter and my husband is there. There are no beggars there. You know, sometimes a person likes to give, you know. Just after Jumu'ah, you walk in the street, you see somebody, you know, or you got some food. There are no people who are starving there. No, you have all the fruit they throw in the bins. If you got food left from your house, you can't give it to somebody. There's nobody to give it to. People throw all their bins are full of food. There's no beggars because the Qataris don't allow people to come. They will beg. You must work and earn your money. So give, be charitable, be a good Muslim, make tawbah and ask for forgiveness. And this is not preparation for Ramadan. This is every day, be it Ramadan, be it before Ramadan, be it in Ramadan, be it after Ramadan. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, make us simple, straightforward, good Muslims who are charitable and do good and make tawbah for the sins that we commit every day as Muslims. And remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah loves those who make tawbah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.